Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin our time in God's Word. Father in heaven, thank you for the abundance of your grace and mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So much you have lavished upon your people. Words, all the words of gratefulness couldn't express it, but it is expressed in that single word, that single phrase, thank you. Thank you. Bless us this morning, Lord, as we examine your truth. We ask for your mercy and grace that our hearts would be enriched, and that not for the cause merely of ourselves, but for the cause of Christ, for the cause of your glory, to the praise of your majesty. In Jesus' name, amen. This Thursday, praise the Lord, we will be blessed with the opportunity, as the Lord wills, to celebrate Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord indeed. And for that reason, I thought this morning we would take a break from our regular study that we have been doing in a particular section of Jude, and we will address Thanksgiving. Initially this morning, as we begin, we'll look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and there to verse 15, and we will move from Hebrews 13, 15 to Job 21. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That is the mandate for God's people with regard to thanksgiving and sacrifice to the Lord. Offer up thanksgiving to him. It is no doubt to anyone that observes, especially in these modern days, the state of our own country, that the more godlessness that prevails, the more ungodly that the nation becomes, the less thankful it is. The two go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, in our country right now, across this country, Thanksgiving is referred to among many as merely a myth. It's a myth, they say. They have attempted to rewrite history, but all about one thing in particular, ultimately, and that is being unthankful to God. Being unthankful. As a matter of fact, many today have undertaken the idea of not celebrating Thanksgiving as we historically have known it in this country. Instead, they, of even referring to the name thanks in giving, they have changed the name. Some call it Friendsgiving Day. Friendsgiving Day. This coming Thursday, off the coast of California on an island we're familiar with called Alcatraz, there will be a group of people meeting together, and they will celebrate what they refer to as Un-Thanksgiving Day, as they get together to mourn the plight of indigenous people in this country. And the list actually goes on and on and on. You can search the internet and come up with all the terms that are out there, and I don't want to elaborate on it to give those people any kind of credit whatsoever. Because ultimately it comes down to that very truth, that very reality, and that is that the more a people plunges themselves into their depravity, the more ungodly a country and a people become, the less thankful they are. Ultimately, they turn things into themselves. As a matter of fact, that is exactly what God says in His Word. Look in Job with me, chapter 21 this morning, with regard to the ungodly. Job 21, and there down to verse 14. Job is writing and speaking about the wicked here in this context. And he says of them in verse 14, they say to God, depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what would we gain if we entreat him? Behold, their prosperity is not in their hands. The counsel of the wicked is far from me, Job says. Their worship of God is based on, as this very text says, what is in it for them. And they realize, or actually without realizing it, they don't even acknowledge the fact that their temporal things that they possess are ultimately not even of themselves, but God's gracious gift to them. Notice the text again. Behold, their prosperity is not in their hand. God has given and provided the rain, the sun, and a multitude of other things, but they are unthankful. Their thanksgiving ultimately, just like their worship, terminates in themselves. It terminates in themselves. They are unthankful in the light of all of God's goodness. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, our Lord said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself, and listen to this, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. And yet those who are ungrateful and evil do not even recognize that the talents they have been given to them by God. They may occasionally thank God with their mouth or whatever, but ultimately their heart is far from Him. It could be said of them, as it has been stated by the New Testament, that they honor God with their mouths, but their heart is far from Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, and then this, or give thanks. Or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2, God speaks in that context about the characteristic of people in the last days. And He says this in that second verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3, actually verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, and here it is, ungrateful. Ungrateful. So much so that, as I mentioned already, they would be so prideful and boastful in themselves and lovers of themselves that they would take a day that has been set aside nationally in a country and turn it from a day of thanksgiving to a day of unthanksgiving. and refer to that day, Thanksgiving, historically celebrated in this country, as a myth. Now, if it were not so sad and pathetic and pitiful, there would almost be an element of humor here in the sense that many of these same people will celebrate Christmas and promote Santa Claus, a fat man who rides around in the skies at night across the whole world, led by reindeer, who goes down chimneys of all the children in the world and leaves toys there. And that fat man manages to get up and out and gone before anybody sees him. What incredible ignorance. But it's really just more than ignorance. It's ultimately about that fact that the more ungodly a nation and a people become, the less thankful they are. The more woke they are, the less grateful they are. But, and praise the Lord for this, not so with God's people. Not so with God's people. And that's where we are today whenever we address Thanksgiving. We're looking at it from the perspective of God's people. Here again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Just the opposite of the other. The more godly people become, the more thankful they are. The more thankful they are. Hebrews 13:15 expresses that fact, that one aspect of praise to God is that of being thankful to him. Vine's dictionary says that the New Testament Greek word translated thanksgiving is in essence, in meaning, the expression of joy Godward. And it is that. True thanksgiving is an expression of God or of joy to God from his people. But listen, it's really much, much, much more than that. True thanksgiving is faith's instinctive response to God for who he is and for his benevolence. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And those who live by faith know and understand thoroughly that all things are from God, through God, and to God. And that they are to joyously give thanks to him for who he is and his sovereign care over them. Those of us who walk by faith understand that we possess nothing that we did not receive. Paul asked the church at Corinth that very question in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, what do you have that you did not receive? And the answer to the question is nothing. Nothing. We have nothing that we have not received. And for that reason, we are not to boast as if what we possess in and of our own innate ability. Instead, as Christians, we realize and recognize the fact that even our natural talents, our natural abilities to do things and accomplish things, come to us by God and from God himself. And certainly, we as Christians recognize how much more salvation is a true gift to us in that we have done nothing to merit it whatsoever. We give thanks to the Father in whom and with whom there is no variation. no shifting shadow, and from whom comes every good and perfect gift, according to James 1, 17. So for that reason, thanksgiving certainly is expressed when those of biblical faith recognize God for who He is and for what He does. And the Bible tells us that God is good in multiple places, both the Old and the New Testament. In Psalm 119, verse 68, the Bible says that God is good and He does good. In the New Testament, Jesus Himself said, God is good. He is good. Our praise of thanksgiving, therefore, is always toward God. By faith, we're aware that we came into the world naked and we're going to go out the same way. Therefore, and in the meantime, while in the world, while we express and experience actually in this world both pain and pleasure, we worship God. And we are to bless Him who gives and, as Job says, takes away. In Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, blessed be the name of the Lord. Such worship as that ascribes glory to God for who He is, regardless of our own condition. And it's this kind of worship that terminates in God. It terminates in Him. Not ourselves. It's not a looking inward. It's not a looking outward. It's a looking upward. It's a looking to God, to Him, from which and through which and to which all things are. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, this book of Psalms expresses that throughout it. That true thanksgiving is faith's instinctive response to God for who He is and for His benevolence, regardless of one's condition. Look in your Bibles to the book of Psalms with me. Psalms 69. Psalm 69. We'll see this in multiple places. David conveyed this reality in Psalm 69, and he did so whenever he was in much agony. Psalm 69, and move down in the text with me to verse 29. He said of himself, "But I am afflicted and in pain." That was his condition when he wrote this psalm. "May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high." And notice the next verse. "I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with," and there it is, "thanksgiving." Even in the condition of being afflicted and in pain, David, like Job, said, God is worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. He gives and He takes away. As Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Psalm 95, turn there with me, and you can see this in many other psalms. We'll look at just a few. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll turn from here to Psalm 100. And in these psalms, God is thanked because of His sovereignty. Psalm 95, 1. "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also." And he goes on, expressing thanksgiving to God because of His sovereignty. Move from here to Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with, and there it is, thanksgiving. Notice that. It's not even of what we have, but it's our very existence that is in view here. His sovereignty over creating us that should propel us into thanksgiving before him and the entrance into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord, and here it is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. We are to praise and thank him for his truth. Turn over to Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Verse 1. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens. And your truth reaches to the skies. Psalm 118, verse 28. Psalm 118 and verse 28. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. 136. Psalm 136. This particular psalm expresses thanksgiving to God throughout it for a multitude of things. Look at it with me. I'll start in verse 1, and we will acknowledge that there are many things in this psalm God is to be thanked for. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The idea of that first resonates in and with God's nature. Give thanks to him because of who he is. And who is he? He is good. And because of what? His loving kindness. That is what he does. That's his benevolence toward his people. That is his benevolence actually toward the entire world. For the Psalms tells us that the entire creation is filled with God's loving kindness. And the resounding response should be, giving thanks to him. Verse 2, give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Verse 4, to him, and actually after this, what you will see is this expression, to him, listed many times, and it is to him we are to give thanks, and then it will state in this next portion of the verses, what we are to give thanks to him for. So in verse 4, to him who alone does great wonders. We are to give thanks to God because he does great wonders. We are to give thanks to God in verse 5 because he has made the heavens with skill. I love that. He has made, there is a creator, and he has made with skill. Notice the contrast to what the ungrateful say God, or not God, but the source of creation is today. An explosion. No creator and no skill. Don't tell me that all of these things are not direct assaults against God. They couldn't be anything less than that. But go on, look at verse 6. To him we are to give thanks who spread out the earth above the waters. In verse 7, who made the great lights. And down in verse 10, give thanks in essence, to him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn. And he begins to elaborate on God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt here. In verse 11, he brought Israel out from their midst. Verse 13, continuing that thought of giving thanks to him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And in 14, he made Israel pass through the midst of it. And in verse 15, he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. 16, who led his people through the wilderness. And 17, who smote great kings. And verse 18, and slew mighty kings. Verse 23, give thanks to him is the thought that's continuing here, who remembered us in our low estate. Verse 24, and rescued us from our adversaries. And 25, and gives food to all flesh. And it ends in verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Look at Psalm 138. Verse 1, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. Finally, Psalm 107. Go back there with me for a moment. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Yes, thanksgiving is indeed faith's instinctive response to God for who he is and for what he does. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament, and I'm going to ask you there to turn to a specific book in the New Testament, the book of Colossians. And really here, as we turn to Colossians, we're getting to the heart of what we have been addressing this morning, and that is that God's people, because of the reality of faith in them, it is their and should be their instinctive nature to offer thanksgiving to God. Look in Colossians to chapter 1 with me. In this letter, Paul, as he wrote to the church, the believers there at Colossae, he gave thanks to God, and he prayed that the believers there at Colossae would do the same. Look at chapter 1 and there to verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And move down in the text with me. Let's go to verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, that is their faith, the faith of those at Colossae, and their love in the Spirit, as verse 8 says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously, and here it is, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We should not be surprised that walking or living a life in Christ is to be characterized in the life of the Christian by abounding thanksgiving and abounding in thanksgiving. Listen, as with Paul's other epistles that he wrote, they could all be, in essence, divided in half. he always sets up a doctrinal foundation at the beginning of them. And then in the last half of his epistles, he works out those doctrines in our practical lives and shows us how they are to go. And so it is here in the book of Colossians. And I'm going to ask you to look with me to chapter 2 for a moment, and there to verse 6. As he moves into this, he's moving into the practical aspects of it. And he says in verse 6 of Colossians 2, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed." And notice this, "and overflowing with gratitude." Gratitude. Just as we have received him, we are to walk in him. And we are to walk in him that is in Christ, abounding in or overflowing in gratitude or thanksgiving. Consider for a moment the doctrinal portion of this letter. What is said basically with regard to that which God has done for the Christian? Back up in the text with me to chapter 1, verse 13. We see at the beginning of that verse that God has delivered us out of the domain of darkness. He's taken us out of one thing, and what was it? That domain of darkness. And he's transferred us into another, the kingdom of his beloved Son. In that condition of darkness that we existed in beforehand, you can see he relates to that in verse 21, or refers to it in verse 21. He says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds," that was the condition in that domain of darkness. And now he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And he's done this by creating us as new creatures in Jesus Christ. And in Christ himself, we have, according to verse 14, redemption. And we have, because of Christ and being in him, the forgiveness of our sins. Notice verse 14. "In whom," referring to Christ, "we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." To be in Christ for the Christian is to be in union and communion with him, the magnitude of which must be understood in multiple verses in this book, wherein the apostle describes Christ himself. In verse 15, he is described, that is, Christ, as the image of the invisible God. Again, in verse 15, he is the firstborn of all creation. In verse 16, he's the creator of all things. Verse 17, he is before all things, and Christ holds all things together. He is the head of the church in verse 18, and again, the beginning. He is the firstborn in verse 18 from the dead and is preeminent in all things. We should express thanksgiving to him. That should be the characteristic of our lives. Paul does this in this very book. Notice chapter 3 with me for a moment, verse 15. He says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians 3:15. "And be thankful." That little word "be" is a verb in the Greek language. And the word "thankful" is an adjective here. And as an adjective, it describes what should be the condition of God's people. We should be in a state of being thankful. And by the way, this is a command. It's a command. Chapter 3 and verse 16, notice the text there. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Our singing and our worship of God, ultimately as Christians, is not about us, and it's ultimately not to be for us. It's about God, and it's for His praise and His glory that we are to engage in worship of Him. Look at verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then notice this, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Our prayers are to have sprinkled in them the fragrance of thanksgiving as Christians. Look at chapter 4. And there to verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Believers, God has truly blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. According to Ephesians 1, 4, and 7, He has lavished upon us the riches of His grace. Listen to those verses for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. And in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. We have so much for which we are to be thankful to God. The list is endless. And if the things of heaven and even some earthly things which He has given to us were not enough, there is another category that we could spend much time on that we are to be thankful to Him for. And that is even at times those things that God takes away from us. Interesting. What did Job say? God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job wasn't like the ungodly that just worshiped and praised God and was thankful to God for what he received. He thanked God in the midst of having things taken away. God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God withholds from us and when God takes from us, He is still working those very things all together for good. And for those reasons, we must still be thankful to Him. In the loss, our temporal loss, we have still gained in that God's graciousness and His loving kindness. And I know that in the midst of it, it is a trial. No suffering for the present seems to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, what? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised thereby. That's from Hebrews chapter 12. And when you come to that verse in Hebrews 13, we are still to offer thanksgiving to God, praise to Him. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100, as we read earlier, enter His gates with thanksgiving. and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Church, as we worship God, our worship is to be filled, as Paul said to the church at Colossae, abounding in thanksgiving. We could spend time this morning looking at many other verses, but you get the point. God's people are those who offer true thanksgiving to Him, whose lives should be characterized by overflowing, abundant thanksgiving to God for who He is, for what He does, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let's stand this morning. We can truly say as believers, in the light of all that we have experienced here, and especially our salvation in Jesus Christ, for which we are abundantly thankful for, our greatest blessing, the forgiveness of sins that we have through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, having because of His death and God's grace in our lives been reconciled to Him, we can say this as well. We haven't seen even the tip of it yet. There is so much more to come in the life of the Christian. Paul expressed it this way in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, a single verse, verse 7. Says this, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Whenever we get into heaven, we will see the pinnacle of why we are to be thankful to God. It's beyond what we can imagine now, but it'll be expressed there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will behold Christ. We will behold Him on the throne. And we will see there in His body the marks, as the Bible describes in Revelation, of a lamb slain. And be able to offer there thanksgiving to Him directly, immediately. And we wait for that time, and we wait for His second coming. And He will come. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't say just that He will come, it says that He is coming. And the idea behind that phrase, He is coming, is that He is pulling together everything in this creation in preparation for that event, His coming. Thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You, thank You. For Your tremendous grace and mercy, cause us to abound, to superabound in thanksgiving to You. For You indeed are God, and there is no other. Bless Your name. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.